Let's pray. Jesus, I thank you so much that even now, we can enter into the secret place with you. The secret place isn't this room or a specific location. It's just that alone place with you, even when there's people all around us. So even in the stillness, even with people all around us, that we will find that place of your presence. When you invited yourself to come to us, you said, I've come to bring you rest. So I pray as we come into that secret place just with you, even right now, I speak rest over every mind. I pray the reality of your presence will be so tangible in each mind, in each heart. That's how personal you are. Amen. Amen. When I was working on this, this is one of my favorite things about a relationship with Jesus is the secret place. And I was really surprised when I discovered in 18 years I've never given a lesson on this, because it's my favorite thing about knowing Jesus, getting to know Jesus, is that we get to enter into his presence in a crowd, in private, whatever that looks like, in such personal way, in such a personal way, and he meets us there. I love that song. I never heard that song before, but he's on the porch waiting for you to, whatever that porch means to you. It's, again, not a physical location. He loves it when his people come to him. And that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm going to start with a verse, and I'll tell you a little bit about how this message came about. The verse I'm using kind of to kick it off is Matthew 6, 5 and 6, where Jesus was talking about prayer, and he was talking about how hypocrites love to pray prayers that can be heard and maybe people be impressed by their prayers. And he's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. Don't pray like that. He actually says, when you pray, Don't be like the hypocrites. They love to pray standing in the synagogues on the street corners, to be seen by others. And that's the emphasis of his point here, is that if you're praying to be seen by others or to impress others or to somehow call attention to your righteous act of prayer, he says, forget about it. That's not what impresses me. He says, instead, I tell you, they've received their reward in full. But he said, but you, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And he's not suggesting that in any way that corporate prayer times are wrong. He's actually telling us, actually, because you can be in a corporate prayer time and actually be in the secret place with Jesus all by yourself. That's what's awesome about prayer, is that you can be in a crowded room, and every time we gather corporately to pray, I'm guessing every person at some point during that prayer time is in that secret place with Jesus. Because we can go there at any time. And the way this lesson came about was we had our board meeting, church board meeting this week, and we always gather for prayer beforehand. As we were praying, Holy Spirit reminded me of something. I didn't verbalize it. I didn't say anything to anybody about any of it. But it was a reminder to me of a very, very specific prayer that I know that we prayed about. Some of us prayed about it together. It was a very personal issue that someone was dealing with. And we were praying about it together. But I also know that as this issue was erupting in a person's life, that there was a lot of people going into the secret place with Jesus alone on behalf of another person who had a very big need. This has probably been a year or so ago, maybe even longer, but it was a very specific time. And not everybody knew about the situation. It was maybe a small circle of people knew about it, but it was very personal. And there was a lot of warfare going on. People were digging in, going into the secret place, pounding the gates of heaven on behalf of someone who had a need. And as I was standing there at our meeting, the Lord showed me this person and showed me how that crisis is gone. That crisis is over. That period of time in this person's life has ended. The situation was taken care of. Jesus heard the cries of his people who interceded, who prayed, who went to the throne room, went into the secret place, sometimes corporately, in small corporate gatherings. It wasn't ever anything that we ever prayed about as a group in the sanctuary, but there were small groups of people that were praying because the need was great. The enemy had a plan to disrupt a life, to send it on a path that was not what God had in mind. And people knew what wasn't what God had in mind, and they said, we're going to pray. And the Lord just reminded me in those moments, Monday night, the secret place, cannot be ignored. And when I introduced our word for this year, onward and upward, advancing the kingdom, I said from the very beginning that this word, we're going to advance the kingdom on our knees. We're going to advance the kingdom. We're going to move onward and upward, bowed down in the secret place. I don't know that I probably didn't use those words, in the secret place, but it's so important. And so here in this verse, you know, Jesus is saying, I love when you come into the secret place, essentially. I love when you, whether you're in a group of people or whether you're all by yourself, both are important. Both are important. And that's not just in prayer, that's in worship, that's in fasting, that's in, sometimes even when you're in acts of service, and you're quietly saying, Jesus, I'm so glad I get to serve you. I'm so glad I get to serve these people that are around me right now. Finding that place of his presence wherever we are, because he is never, ever, 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 ever far away from any one of us. And so today we're going to go through, what it means to be in the secret place. I'm going to go through some, he was showing me just specific times in my life as I was getting to know him. I came to know Jesus when I was 20 years old, college student. And different times when I didn't know what the secret place was. I didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know, but he showed me some specific times. So we're gonna give some scriptures and gonna give some examples of times when he brought me into the secret place when I didn't even know what it was. And so I'm gonna start with just several verses, just kind of laying a foundation for the secret place. And the clicker's not clicking, so just go to the next one. Somebody up there? Okay. So Luke 5:16 says this is just about Jesus. Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. So we'll put that out there because there's no substitute for your alone time with him. If Jesus, the Savior of the world, needed to be alone with God, how much more do we? How much more do we? And then in Matthew 11, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened." Is anybody in this room today weary or burdened? Good news if you are. He says, "Come to me, come to me, come to me. I'll give you rest, I'll give you rest." And that's not just a circumstantial rest. That's available 24/7. That's sometimes in the middle of the storm. Sometimes in the middle of the chaos. In the middle of the confusion. It says, "Come to me, take my yoke upon you, learn from me. I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you'll find rest for your soul." So the invitation to come to Jesus the very first time is an invitation to the secret place. Because the secret place is the presence of Jesus. The secret place is acknowledging him in the middle of your day. We've heard several times recently, invite Jesus. Welcome King Jesus. These messages we've been hearing are all that about that invitation to let him in. Let him in. Meet him on the porch. And then there's this amazing passage from the Psalms. "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." He who dwells in the sacred place. It's a place where you can live. You can live there. There's a rest, a security, a safe haven, an assurance, a quiet confidence that we discover in the secret place that can't be fully realized anywhere else. So one of my early discoveries about this secret place, I had graduated from college. And I had started my first job out of college as a reporter at the Salem News. And I was, my first couple of months, I grew up in Youngstown and was still living in my parents' home for a couple of months before I got my own place, my own apartment. And I was, I had come home from work one day, and I don't remember exactly what the scenario was, something happened at work that day, my very first job as a reporter, and I had, you know, I'd of course come to know Jesus at this point. I was pretty new in my walk, having come to him as a junior in college, now a graduate, so it was about 2 years old in my walk with Jesus. And I'd come home and I was struggling with something, and I wish I could remember what it was, but I don't know what it was. But I remember being in my bedroom, and I remember standing at my window, looking out the window, and I remember looking out this window and praying about whatever it is I was praying about. And I had this amazing awareness of the presence of Jesus in those moments that whatever this struggle was, I could speak it to him and he would hear me. And so I did. I spoke it to him and he heard whatever it was, I don't remember the detail, but I remember very, very clearly having an awareness that he heard me. And the sense of peace just swept over me. And it was kind of like an early in my walk reminder that there is no issue that we can ever deal with that we cannot present to him. And I think part of my issue that day was I was trying to figure something out, which was the very verse that led me to Jesus in the first place. You can't figure it out. Surrender it to me. Talk to me about it. But it was in those moments that I had this amazing awareness that there was never going to be any issue that if I didn't that if I surrendered it to him, he was going to bring about an answer. And I recall this just great, great peace coming over me. It was so profound. It was so real. It was relevant. It was transformative. Way back then, in my 20s, I was probably about 22 years old, that he reminded me I could trust Jesus with anything and everything. If you're in this room today, you can trust Jesus with anything and everything. There's no issue. There's no issue that you can't trust him with. There's nothing that I couldn't bring to him. Nothing was too hard for him if it was surrendered to his will and his way. And I had revelation this week that was my early discovery of the secret place. I didn't know that. I didn't know what it was. But it was an early, one of my maybe very first introductions to the secret place. So in the book of Daniel, in chapter 8, Daniel has this vision. And as it turns out, he didn't know what this was at the time. It was a vision of the end times. He has this vision of where it's the end of time as he knew it. And he has this messenger, Gabriel, that came to him and was starting to tell him a little bit about this vision, that this was about the end of time. And we're not going to go through all of that, but in chapter 9 then, Daniel is really in distress about this vision. He's really in distress. And he makes this determination that he's going to pray. And in this vision that understanding that he had a little bit about it, that there were some terrible things were going to be happening. Terrible things were going to be happening. And this disturbed him greatly. Greatly. And in chapter 9, I don't have a lot of this up there. I'm gonna have a specific part of this up there. We'll put up there when it's ready. But Daniel said he was going to turn to the Lord, and he's going to plead with him. And Scripture says he pleaded with him in prayer and petition, in fasting, and in sackcloth and in ashes. I was looking at that. In the context of the secret place, here Daniel is making this public, well, of course, the word's public, to declaration. I'm going to go into prayer. I'm going to go into the secret place, and the whole idea of being in sackcloth. Sackcloth was uncomfortable, coarse hair clothing that he was putting on, and putting on ashes, and it was a representation of contrition and mourning and repentance. So Daniel's taking this posture in the secret place of humility. And then Daniel goes on to say, he's acknowledging in this, he has this prayer, and I'm not going through the whole prayer, but he says, Lord, the great and awesome God who keeps his covenant of love, Lord, you're righteous. And so he's demonstrating as he's going into the secret place, he's demonstrating as he's entering into prayer how good God is. So he's kind of setting a little bit of a model here for entering into the secret place. He's coming in repentance. I'm not saying anybody go get goat hair clothing to wear, unless Holy Spirit tells you to. Then he'll help you find it, I suppose. But he's coming in a place of humility, and he's coming with a place of adoration, understanding who God is. You're great and you're awesome, and you keep your promises to your people. He's acknowledging these things. And then he comes with this honesty. He says, we've sinned and done wrong. We've been wicked, and we've rebelled, and we've not listened to you. We're covered with shame. And in this part of the prayer, it reveals the power of repentance, the power of acknowledgement that we fall short, Jesus. So when we come into the secret place, we can come with humility. We can come with worship of who Jesus is. You're good. You're a good, good Father. We come with acknowledging our shortcomings, acknowledging, even if Daniel was praying on behalf of a people, of a people because of this vision that showed how they had fallen short, how they weren't being obedient. And so he's coming. So if you're coming, as you're coming into prayer, sometimes on behalf of somebody who's struggling or someone who's lost or someone who, and also sometimes for ourselves, because we all fall short. And then he makes these requests, these petitions. Lord, in keeping with all of your righteous acts, turn from your anger, turn away your wrath from Jerusalem. For your sake, look with favor on your desolate sanctuary. Give ear, our God, and hear and see the desolation of the city that bears your name. Look, Lord, listen. Lord, listen. Lord, forgive. Lord, hear. Lord, act. Lord, don't delay. So he makes these petitions to the Lord on behalf of this lost people. And so we see this pattern, this sort of a pattern. And I'm not saying we have to develop a pattern in prayer, but there are attributes of this prayer that he's taking into the secret place. And I want you to remember these, because my encouragement when I get to the end of this message is for us to do that, whether it's in here in this room today or do that this week. And ask Holy Spirit to show you how, what to say. Who do I need to be praying for? Because then we get to the part, and you can go to the next screen. Where there's a response to Daniel's prayer. There's a response to him coming into the secret place. And here's what it says. While I was speaking and praying, confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and making my request to the Lord my God for his holy hill, while I was still in prayer, Gabriel, the man I had seen in the earlier vision, came to me in swift flight about the time of the evening sacrifice. And he instructed me and said to me, Daniel, I have now come to give you insight and understanding. As soon as you began to pray, a word went out, which I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed. Therefore, consider the word and understand the vision. And we're not going to go through all of the rest of that vision and all of that interpretation, but the whole point was the moment that he said, I am going into the secret place, the moment that he went into that secret place with a contrite heart, the moment he went into that secret place with a heart of worshiping, acknowledging who God was, the moment that he went into that secret place, acknowledging the sin of himself and his people, the moment that he made requests of God, the scripture says, a word went out for you in response to what you're doing here in the secret place. It's a powerful, powerful, powerful reminder. Whenever we enter the secret place in humility, in worship, with confession of sin, with petitions for God to do something on someone's behalf, he sees our posture. He receives our worship. He's moved by honesty of our condition. And then he hears our pleas. And then in Daniel's case, and I believe in our case, he gives insight and understanding and instruction. And so the value of coming into the secret place over and over and over again cannot be underestimated or overestimated. It's where we live. It's where we live. And remember, this is the same Daniel that refused to bow down to idols, refused to bow down to the golden idols when that was the law at the time. And what did the Lord do? He delivered them, rescued them. So in Psalm, the psalmist says this, "Praise the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who minister by night in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion, who is the maker of heaven and earth." And Lord showed me this verse, and it reminded me of another early discovery in my walk. My wife and I were young in the Lord, and we were attending a church in Salem, which, as it turns out, is now right across the street from our house, where we live now. I don't know if we were living there yet or not at this time, but we went to a Sunday evening worship night, which they didn't have very often, as I don't remember too many of these gatherings going on there. But we went to this, and we ended up, it was in the chapel of the building. It wasn't in the main sanctuary, and for whatever reason, we ended up in the very last row, and where worship was going on, and for whatever reason, I'm in the back row, and I had never been expressive in worship before, but I'm in the back row, and I'm having this sense that I'm supposed to lift my hands. And I was like, that seemed weird to me. I'd never done that before, but I had this strong, strong desire to do that. And we're in the back row, so there's no one behind us. So it seemed really, really safe. Like, no one's going to see me. And so I just remember just lifting my hands in worship. And this may seem really strange to you because, but if you know me, I love worship. I'm not shy about any of that now. But it was a brand new experience. And I remember, as I lifted my hands, just having this sense of freedom in Jesus that I had up to that point never experienced before. I mean, I knew him, I had come to know him, but I had not experienced anything like that before. And then, of course, you discover that it's actually in the scripture, lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise him. That's just one verse of multiple ones that talk about that. If your intent ever with that is to put on a show or impress somebody and now I just don't care. Because whenever I'm up here worshiping, I don't care what anybody else is doing. I look around the room a lot because I like to see who's here, but I'm worshiping Jesus, and it matters not to me one lick what anybody thinks about it. I'm not here to impress anybody. I'm here to worship my Savior, and that was another very early introduction to the secret place. And I didn't know that. I didn't know that. But the Holy Spirit reminded me of all those years ago of being in that back row, the first time when I just had this compunction to raise my hands to Jesus. And all these years later, where I don't even think about it. I don't have to think about it. I want to raise my hands to Jesus because I love him, because he's changed my life, because he's worthy of my praise. I don't care what anybody else thinks about that. I don't care about anybody else does that. I know what my experience was. It brought a freedom in him that I had never experienced before. And I don't know why. I don't know why there's anything relevant about that. I do know that a couple of years ago, I think it was right after Josh and Kyle had moved back here, and I remember him praying specifically for Isaac and Bo, because Bo and Isaac are two of our young men that are down here pretty much every week worshiping Jesus. And I know the Holy Spirit spoke through Josh, and he spoke these words to these two young men, saying, "Your worship, your public worship of Jesus as young men who are unashamed of the gospel," we sang about that today, unashamed of the gospel is going to influence others. Not that they have to lift their hands because you're lifting your hands. They want to lift their hands because they want to worship Jesus just like you do. Just like, because, and it's not all out of your love for Jesus. And so, it's another place of entering into that secret place. Again, there could be nobody else in the room. Nobody else in the room. I don't care whether there's a lot of people in the room or nobody in the room, where I'm just going to the secret place. Every year, for usually a couple times a year, the Men of Valor Wednesday night Men of Valor class says that Scott Baldwin puts this together, where he says, "Hey, we're gonna meet with the youth tonight, and we're just gonna worship. We're just gonna worship, because worship is one of those things that Pastor Shane has brought to our young people, the value of just spending time in worship of Jesus. And for teenagers who maybe have never done that before, it's awkward. But he's done that, and these kids have learned to worship. And we have a much younger group. A lot of the older kids have graduated. But he's still. So this week we had our Wednesday night Men of Valor worshiping with the young people, and walk in the room. The music starts. I'm in the secret place. In a crowded room with lots of other people. I don't care what anybody else is doing. I'm going to worship my Jesus, because we've set aside this time for however long we're going to be there, an hour or so, to be in the presence of Jesus and go into the secret place and worship, and whatever that looks like. And I remember, and I was reminded of this. We talked about this a little bit at men's prayer on Saturday. I was reminded again of, I remember asking Isaac. He spoke a couple months ago at our men's Burn the Ships night. And he just talked about his walk. And I remember asking him that night, how did you, because Isaac grew up here. He was born here and grew up here. And I was like, when did you learn to worship? Because I don't remember you necessarily being a teenager who was worshiping Jesus or a young man that was worshiping Jesus. And then he said, in youth group, we used to just spend time, and I learned to go into the secret place. He didn't use those words, but that's what it is. That's what it is. We're entering into the secret place. Whether we're lifting our hands or bowing down or saying nothing or doing nothing, but just enjoying his presence, whatever that looks like, it's entering into the secret place. So here's another discovery, and I'm going to give the discovery before I give the scripture. So I had a friend, one of my first friends when I moved to Salem. His name was Clark McHugh. We were in each other's weddings, ended up being in each other's weddings. But I remember Clark, and this must have been, this was early again in our marriage. I don't remember if we had our house yet or not, but I don't remember. But I used to go, Clark had a house, and we got to be friends, and we both liked to exercise, and he had a house where he said, "Hey, you know, if you have exercise equipment, you bring it to my house. You can. I'll give you a key. You can come over and work out anytime you want." So that's what I did. I had my Kmart 110-pound red weight set that I had bought that my sister said I would never use. I proved her wrong. That I moved into his house and I would go over and I would work out. And if he happened to be there some days, I remember this particular, it was a Saturday when he was off, he was there and we worked out together, and then we would pray together. And I remember we were praying together one day, and he starts praying in this language that I had never heard before. And I was like, huh. It's like, what's that? What are those words you were saying? And but then I discovered it's in the scriptures. And so I wasn't freaked out by it, but I was puzzled by it. I was like, I don't think I'd ever heard that before. And I don't think I told Connie about it initially. And so anyway, anyway, I started studying it a little bit in Scripture. I was like, oh, okay, that's nothing to be afraid of. And I came upon this verse in Corinthians where it talks about tongues. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. So you know, this is where it's talking about pray. This is where the value and understanding of praying in tongues matters. This isn't a message in tongues. This is praying. Anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak in a tongue, but speak to people, but to God. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So you're building yourself up. You know, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. But what shall I do? I will pray with my spirit, but I also will pray with my understanding. So Paul's not putting any discouragement on praying in tongues or speaking in tongues. He's actually there's a place where he says, I wish all of you spoke in tongues. But he's saying, I do both. I do both. Sometimes I pray with my spirit, sometimes I pray with my understanding. So sometimes I pray in English, sometimes I pray in tongues. I will sing with my understanding, but sometimes I'll sing with my spirit. So anyway, sometime later, I'm praying alone. I don't even know if Connie and I were married yet, because I don't remember if we were married or maybe we were engaged or maybe we were married. Connie says we were married. So I was one day praying alone at home, and I was like, what are these words that seem like they want to come out of my mouth? And I'm like, that's weird. That's so strange. And I'm like, I don't know that first time I ever, like, even, I was like, that's just weird. And so, I don't know whether it was I think I just sort of shut it down and moved on. But the next day is like, there it is again. And so I open my mouth and let him out, and I'm like, that's still very weird. That is still very strange. And I remember sometime later, not too long after, Connie and I were praying together, and I started praying in tongues. And she's like, why didn't you tell me about this? Because it's weird. It wasn't too long after she was praying in tongues. And I didn't do anything. I didn't give it to her. Clark didn't give it to me. It was another introduction to the secret place. It was another introduction to communion with our Savior who loves us. And now, praying in tongues is something I do every day. Every day. If you're at men's prayer meeting, you'll probably hear me quietly in the corner praying in tongues. I'm not giving a message in tongues. It is a place for me where he gave me a gift, I'm going to use it. And if he's given you this gift and you're not using it, use it. If he hasn't given you the gift, don't worry about it. If he wants you to have it, you'll have it. You'll have to confront the strangeness of how it seems. But after a while, it's not strange anymore. It's just part of who you are. When I'm in my car, when I'm driving down the road, if anybody were listening, say, who is that crazy person? And it's not to call attention to this gift that I know is unnecessarily controversial. Around here, it's not really as a whole, but I understand it. It seems weird. But the Bible speaks of it. And if you ever look at this passage, Paul's actually contrasting tongues and prophecies. That actually, I wish you'd all prophesy. He's not dissing tongues. He's just explaining that I don't have all the teaching on it up there. But it's very clear. It's very clear that this was part of New Testament teaching that is still relevant. There's a whole lot of people out there that will say it died off. There's no indication in Scripture that tells us when exactly that supposedly happened. So that's enough for me. Plus, when you learn the value of how it has affected your own life, it's just another weapon of warfare. It's another communion in the secret place with our Savior. And again, I'm not here to tell you all have to have it. I'm not going to say I'm going to give it to you if you don't. I'll let Holy Spirit do that if that's what he wants to do. But it's another secret place experience that is so relevant in this day of advancing the kingdom, of moving onward and upward. And I'm convinced, I was reminded of this as I was working on this particular part. To be honest with you, I didn't want to present this part of this lesson. I would have rather just said, let's not go there. But Holy Spirit wouldn't let me. Because it's relevant. It's really, really relevant. But I was reminded of that first vision I had Monday night when the Lord reminded me of this dramatic turnaround in a person's life. And I know that there were people praying deeply in the Spirit, sometimes in tongues, maybe sometimes in English, on behalf of this individual that has now been set free. Has now been set free. So, some of you know Cliff and Beverly. They usually sit right down here. They've been in Florida for about 6-7 weeks. They'll be back soon. Cliff and Beverly Eddy. Connie and I both got a video sent to us this week. Maybe some of you, maybe others of you got it too. But it was from Bev, and it was a video of a young college student who is at Southeastern University. And if you're paying at all attention to what's happening in many college campuses, is that the Holy Spirit is just breaking out all over the place on college campuses. And so this young girl does this little video this week, and I guess I don't know exactly when the video was done, but she talks about the outpouring of Holy Spirit that's happening on her campus and on college campuses all across the country, and her encouragement. She gave this word of encouragement to people that maybe aren't experiencing this or not understanding what all is happening. But here's what she said, and it caught my attention because, you know, they sent this video having no idea what I was teaching on this week. But here's what she says in this video. She says, the move of God is in your car. The move of God is on your bedroom floor. The move of God is in your living room. The move of God is in your closet. The Spirit of God is not in a place more than he is just wanting to be with you. Being in his presence is the same in your car as it is in the chapel with all the people. The move of God is within you. And when I heard this short video and this young woman's account, what's happening on many college campuses, they're discovering the power of the secret place. Of the secret place. I was at a drugstore this week, just picking up one of my heart prescriptions, and I walked in and I talked to the lady at the counter, and there was another lady up on the platform where they fill the prescriptions, and she's waving at me, and she's like, my son wants to come to your church. She kind of yells it like, I know the son. He went to school with my daughter. And I was so excited. I was like, wow, that would be awesome. In that moment, I'm still being waited on. I'm still being waited on of getting, you know, taking care of my prescription. And I remember in that moment of just going into the secret place, standing there in the store and saying, Jesus, meet him right where he is, whatever his need is, whatever it is that wants him to come to church here. And I don't think he's here today. But it was a moment of such clarity of, we can go into the secret place anytime, anywhere, with people all around us, and make our requests to him. I'm going to close with five specific things. Some of them we've already talked about when we talked about Daniel. Five specific things that I know happen in the secret place, and this is not by any means a comprehensive list, because we could be here all day talking about what happens in the secret place. I'm sure there's more than five. I think I can do it. So what happens in the secret place? Five things. And the first thing I'm going to identify, worship happens in the secret place. May even call it deep worship. It's why every time we have opportunity to go worship somewhere, we have Burn the Ships Friday night, and we also have Heart of David Friday night. So pick whichever one you want to go to. Well, if you're a woman, you can't come to Burn the Ships. So you have an option to go to Heart of David. They're in Liberty. Liberty's not that far away. Like, I don't want to drive clear to Liberty. It's half an hour at the most. It's why we promote anytime we have opportunity to worship together, corporately, with other people, with other people that want to just go into the secret place with Jesus, because we're in a whole group of people. But as I said before, it might as well just be me and Jesus. Worship happens in the secret place. We know from the example of Mary and Martha, that Mary sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. It was part of her act of worship when Martha was busy with other things. And that's not dissing the other things. But in this particular case, Jesus called her out and said, Martha, you're worried about a lot of things. Your sister's found what's better, and it's not going to be taken away from her. And so your private worship, even in a public gathering with lots of other people, it will not be taken away from you. And my encouragement is, find that place. Find him in that secret place, even in a crowded room, because he's right there to minister to you. Communion with God, communion with Jesus, communion with Holy Spirit happens in the secret place. All three. Maybe even deep communion, I'll call it. Deep communion. We learned from James, come near to God, he'll come near to you. You take the step of coming near to God, he'll come near to you. It's communion with God in the secret place. Jesus says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So come to Jesus in the secret place. He's equipping you. He's empowering you to accomplish things, to produce fruit for the kingdom. So again, our word, advancing the kingdom, onward and upward. Secret place is core to us carrying out the assignment he has for us at Abundant Life in 2026. Romans 8:14 to 17, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. The Spirit you receive does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship. The Spirit himself testifies that we're God's children. So coming to know Holy Spirit reminds us over and over and over again of our identity. Of our identity. So when we're communing in the secret place, we're communing with God who says, come near to me. We're communing with Jesus who says, I want you to produce fruit, so here's more so you can produce fruit. We're communing with Holy Spirit who says, I'm going to supply you with everything you need to do that. So when we come into the secret place, we're communing with God, Father, Holy Spirit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Paul closes out this particular chapter of Corinthians and says, talks about all three. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The Trinity. All three. All three when we come into the secret place. They're not divided, they're fully united. What happens in the secret place? Intercession, maybe even deep intercession. Romans 8, 26-27, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. That's just one example of what intercession looks like, where I don't even know what to express here. I don't even, maybe the pain's too great, or the confusion's too great, or the situation's too overwhelming. I don't even know what to pray. I'm just going to lay it all out there with noises. I know that was what was happening on behalf of this person who was in a crisis and is no longer in a crisis. Transformation happens in the secret place. I don't even know how to fully explain this, but every time you go into the secret place, there's more transformation going on in you. I don't know what all he's chipping off of you, but none of us has arrived. The work is still incomplete. But Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, now the Lord is Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So we keep talking, keep seeing these words about freedom, freedom to worship. Freedom to open your mouth and worship him. Freedom to open your mouth and let another tongue that seems strange come out of your mouth. Freedom to open your mouth and make a request of him. Freedom to bow down and repent. Freedom to pray on behalf of a people. Then he says, we all with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. We're being transformed into his image with every increasing glory. Some versions say from glory to glory. To glory. So transformation happens every single time you come into the secret place, even though we may not be able to identify exactly what took place. I don't know about you, but I know there's times when I look back on different periods of my life and it's like, oh my gosh, that thing that used to be a weight on my shoulders is not there anymore. I don't remember exactly when it left. Or I don't think the same way I used to think. How did that transformation of thinking take place? Coming to the secret place over and over and over and over and over again, and pretty soon our thinking shifts. Revelation happens in the secret place. Maybe even deep revelation. 1 Corinthians, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. Spirit searches all things, even deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts except the Spirit of God. What we've received is not from the spirit of this world, but from the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. We understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness, cannot understand them because they're discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. That comes in the secret place. That comes in the secret place of study. That comes in the secret place of prayer. That comes in the secret place of worship. That comes in the secret place of his presence. Such an interesting thing, the secret place. I'm convinced the more time we spend in the secret place, the reality of what happens in the secret place is no longer a secret. Because when transformation happens and it becomes visible, that the secret place becomes known. I was thinking about the passage in Acts where John and Peter, I don't have it up here, but John and Peter were explaining to the religious leaders all this stuff that was happening because of Jesus, and they were called into account for it. And I wrote this down just in my notes this morning. Just going to read it to you. Scripture says in Acts 4:13, these leaders, these religious leaders, they saw the courage of Peter and John, and they realized they're unschooled ordinary men. Unschooled ordinary men. They weren't scholars. They weren't educated. Nothing about them commanded respect. But here's what they said. They were astonished and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. And so when we go into the secret place and we function out of that posture of being seated with Jesus in heavenly places, there's something tangible that people can look and say, how'd you get smart? You didn't go to school. How'd you get that power? How'd you get that understanding? The secret place. And so the secret place becomes known, becomes visible, becomes tangible. So it's this weird dichotomy of, well, it's not all that secret. When we keep going there, and we keep going there, and we keep being transformed, and we keep, because we're not just going there to be filled, we're not just going there to get gifts, we're going there to be transformed, to be equipped, to then go into the world and shine light, and speak truth, and love people, and care for them supernaturally that brings transformation. And the secret place, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, becomes known. Becomes known. Everything that happens in the secret place is to equip us to shine light in the public place. None of it is intended to say, oh, I pray more than you. I worship more than you, or I worship better than you, or I speak in tongues, or I don't speak in tongues, or I do this, or I do that. None of that matters. It's the example of Daniel bow down. I love how Holy Spirit, just in a simple time of prayer before a meeting, Holy Spirit can show me a work that He did to transform a life. That life is in this room today, by the way. That person's in the room today. As I see Dina tearing up, I tear up every time I think about it. Because I'm talking about a life that was headed for destruction. As we go to prayer, and I'm going to encourage everybody in this room, you stay in your seat, come forward, do whatever you want to do, but I want you to go into this, I want you, for even if it's just a minute, to go into the secret place with Jesus while we're still in this room today and do one of several things. If you know, pick whatever you want. Worship Him. Make a request of Him. Tell Him how great He is. Bring to Him some besetting situation that seems impossible. I still remember, and this wasn't too long ago, where Pastor Mark, at the end of a message, called people out and said, I want you to make a request of Jesus that you think's impossible, that you think could never possibly happen. There's, again, somebody sitting in this room that did that, and the impossible happened. And restoration of a relationship took place. So I want you to do something. Maybe open your mouth. Maybe there's weird words on your lips. The Lord wants to release them. I don't know. But I want you to do that, and I want you to do it for a minute or two in this room today. But then I want you to do it tomorrow morning in your alone time. Just, again, whatever that looks like for you. And then I want you to do it the next day. Because I am absolutely convinced that we are on assignment at Abundant Life Fellowship to advance the kingdom. And He wants to use every single one of you. There's not one of you that is left out of the equation. There's not one of you that doesn't have a gift that He wants to use to advance the kingdom. But it's all going to come out of that place of the secret place, that secret place that He's set aside for every one of us. If you're in this room today and you don't have any idea what I've just said for the last hour, let's have a conversation. Let's pray. Jesus, I thank You so much for the secret place that You have made way for us to enter into the secret place in our car, in our closet, in our living room, on the bedroom floor, in the kitchen, at a grocery store, in a parking lot, in a park, when I'm at the machine at work, working my machine, when I'm sitting at my desk, when I'm shopping at a grocery store, when I'm picking up a prescription at the pharmacy, that You have made the secret place of Your presence so accessible to us. And You want us to come there because You have work for us to do for the kingdom. I'm thankful that You can handle our personal issues, that You can deliver us and You can heal us and You can restore us and You can give us wisdom and strength and all the things that we gleaned from Your presence. But I know You don't want us to just receive from You. You want us to receive and then give it away. give it away, only to come back and receive more, to give more away. So I pray as we just spend a little bit of time with your presence, in your presence, in worship, whatever that looks like, that you will do a work in each person, that you will show something to every person, that people will come with testimony after testimony of something that you gave them, showed them, or did in them, because they heard from you and said yes. Let your name be lifted high today, and all we say, all we do, wherever we go today, let us go as bright shiners of light for the advancement of the kingdom. In your name I pray, amen.